Tara out there.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, so Tara Betts is a poet. She's the author of a book called Ark and Cube. Just came out. There are copies of it here if you want one. Tara is a Cave Canon Fellow. Her work has appeared in numerous publications, including Callaloo, Hanging Loose, and Gathering Grounds. She currently teaches at Rutgers University, and she leads community-based workshops. Please welcome Tara Betts.
I was hoping to tell people they could scoot in, and I'm like, wow, it's cozy in here.
There's some room on the steps. Anyone want to see the steps?
Yeah. Like, does anybody want to scoot in a little bit? There's one, two, at least three steps. And I'm sitting here, I'm like in the back, like, I'll look through your door. I know sometimes it's like you end up reading from the book and you don't get to read new stuff. So I'm trying to read something new at the different readings I go to, at least at the beginning and maybe at the end. So I mean, like, I thought I had it. We can dance to the song.
Yes.
It's okay. It happens. It happens. It's okay.
You excited?
Excited.
She's excited. All right. Cool. All right. So, I'll go back to the other one. Oh. You get in the notebook and then everything starts to look alike, especially when it looks like this. So you're like, what is that? Okay. So a new poem. Sometimes I try to write with my students at Rutgers, and they pulled this prompt where you had to trace the life of a $5 bill through five people's hands. So this is what I came up with. When I left the cool confines of a Louis Vuitton Speedy, those manicured hands cradled me into leather gloves, creased as they passed ecstasy in envelopes. The gloves crush pulp spine, savor the rustle of wrinkles in my green paper skin, then stuff me into dark pockets filled with letter E. I escape at bright store counter, greet cash register, clammy hands eager for me, girly mags and punching time cards. Pinned under steel arms until ka-ching forces me out again. A bark demands me. I am yanked, thrown so much under gunshot. Blast stains me with blood and green. I shudder in chaos's hands. He spits me from grip like a release. Heavy, then gone, cut loose in tightened belt. Times on kitchen table, dimmed until mom pays the bill. So, new one. We'll see. As you can see, too, I have a little sticker. There are stickers in the back and buttons. Maybe that's my teacher thing, but I don't know. Stickers and buttons are fun, so please take one if you can't buy a book tonight. That's fine. I'll read something else. Let's see. What am I feeling? I know one of the things that I always find myself going back to as a poet is Pablo Neruda. Any Neruda fans? Are we all above Neruda now? Okay, I hope not. And I found myself, even though I was very involved with the Poetry Slam community, that there were some people who kind of lost sight of the fact that poetry moves people and makes people think and changes the way they think and do things in the world. Mm-hmm. So, hence Neruda's email to slam poets. Mm-hmm. From consolgeneral@gmail.com to info@slampoetry.com. I greeted the Falcon of Death when Allende sunk like a familiar battleship. The glass, once crystal seabirds, fell across my embated floors in cherry, lime, and watery fragments. My salvation was like Matilda's warm breath nestled in the shawl of pulse and memory. My name, scattered in poems, black silkworms of love letters, scrawled on the wooden fence outside my home, a utopia christened Isla Negra. The people remembered this baptism of words that caught their lives like so many fishermen's nets, like toucan's beak wet with sips of rainbow catching an eye. The people said my poems were necessary bread, fireplace specter, a loving hammer against fear. So I ask you, if ink on a napkin matters when bullets dare you to approach a fence, write simple phrases, tender as tilapia, like love you, miss you, recordamos, please, set the wayward pigeons of your words free if they will not make bread, provide dry shelter, or mend a fence. Please respond to stomach aches that require more than beer-soaked ego when the points they know best belong to bullets. In love, P.N. I wonder what Neruda would be writing now if he was still alive. It would be an interesting thought. I always want to change my mind when I get up here. I have two poems about Katrina that are in here. This one is kind of an anti-ode. It's called The Broken Levees. You were not built to last, not like Ninth Ward dwellers who recall waves swelling, churning against your feeble back. Your spine hardly held the muddy flesh and wetlands blood, white plastic bracket, corrugated steel, cowering like cardboard under water's fists. There must have been some guilt, regret, maybe a sense of inferiority when you opened, simpering like some neglected sagging gate. Maybe you knew you were not up to this. Military men shallowly planted you, an undernourished wall, not wide nor tall enough. Your vitamins were fear, oil, Mardi Gras tourism, voodoo, and jazz. You should not be blamed. Child pressing your will against Mami Wata. No thumb in the dike could stop the flow. None of your idiot engineer fathers spoke ethics. They simply did their job and sent their weakest out to be plowed like a field of homes and families, mended, made the same, not enough for Katrina or categories climbing past two. Whisper to those staking your bones and patching your wounds. Murmur about cacophonous crash and scream. Tell them about the scent and taste of dying. I was thinking also about how there's all these different stories that kind of pop out of relationships, and how we're not always encouraged to tell the girls the truth about relationships, especially when they're younger. You're like, just don't have sex. And I'm like, I don't know if this is what I want to do in life. So this poem came out of that. It's called What a Crazy Aunt Can Give. The one sign that I am the crazy aunt is that I keep envisioning the gift I want to give to nieces when they start to sigh, write long letters, or sneak off to hoard the phone and wear the tiniest clothes. Before they repel the clutch of elders entirely, I slide the pink box across the kitchen table. It is light, thin cardboard, suitable for confections or pastries. The creamiest pink silk ribbon wraps itself in lush bow that unknots with one gentle pull. Pink paper reveals the battery-powered device. Not huge with length or girth, but dainty as a butterfly or a lip gloss. I expect the horrified look, nervous bursts of laughter, a storm of footsteps tromping out the room, but the hope lingers that she will take it. This box opens the crazy possibility that she can please herself, then pick boys like a preference for the most durable battery. Y'all are a tough crowd. Made me nervous for a second. I said, oh God, am I going to get looked at crazy?